We do invite you to hear the good news as it comes to us from the Gospel of John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down, looked in, and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. May the Lord our God bless the reading and the hearing and the living out of these words. Amen.
Now, we must admit at times that at this time of Easter, there is some confusion. And we are partly to blame, we have to say. We send mixed signals that cloud the truth of Easter. And for that reason, when a lot of people think of Easter, they think of a big male rabbit carrying around a basket full of colored eggs. That's kind of confusing, at least for the adults, right? Well, there was a man driving one Saturday before Easter, and he was driving down the road, and suddenly he ran over a bunny that he thought was the Easter bunny, and he killed it. And he got out of the car, and he was bending over this body, and he was sobbing because he thought he killed the Easter bunny. Well, a woman drove by and saw him weeping while standing over what he believed to be the Easter bunny. And so she asked him, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Oh, I feel terrible. I accidentally ran over and killed the Easter bunny. What should I do?" And the woman told the man not to worry. She knew exactly what to do. She went back to her car, brought out this can, sprayed all the contents of the can over this bunny. And lo and behold, the bunny awoke. and came to life and started hopping down the road and went 50 yards and he turned and he waved. And he ran another 50 yards and turned and he waved. And he went down the road again 50 yards and waved again. And the man was flabbergasted. He was so astonished. He said, "What in the world is in that can?" And so she turned it to him and he could read it. It said, "Hairspray restores life to dead hair and adds permanent wave." Well, yeah, okay. A little more serious. Martin Luther King used to tell a story about Sister Pollard, a 70-year-old African-American woman who lived in Montgomery, Alabama during the famous bus boycott. And one day, after walking a significant distance daily for several months, Sister Pollard was asked if she'd like a ride. She says, "Oh, no, that's okay, I'm fine." "But aren't you tired?" the person asked. And to which Sister Pollard answered, "My feet is tired, but my soul is rested." Well, Joe Klein writes, "Resurrection living, moving beyond our fears and trusting the God is in God fashioning a way out of no way, celebrating the promise that a new world is unfolding. This leads us to affirm as well that our souls are rested." We will continue to face all kinds of challenges and struggling along the way. Our feet will be tired, but our spirits will be strengthened through the presence of the risen Christ. This is good news. We celebrate this Easter morning. There is no tragedy that God cannot redeem, no dream, even the elusive dream of peace on earth, that the God who has raised Jesus from the dead cannot energize and advance. Christ is risen. Christ is risen, indeed. So what does Easter mean to you? Let's look at Mary Magdalene for a moment. In John's version, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb by herself and discovers the boulder has been moved away and Jesus' body is gone. Scared out of her wits, afraid of the worst, she runs back to tell the disciples. And what is her first assumption? They've taken away the body. So she reports this to two of the disciples, Peter and the one Jesus loved. And this news is so unbelievable, certainly Mary must be wrong, they run to see for themselves. Maybe this is a guy thing. I mean, you've heard the story perhaps that a woman comes in the living room, her husband's watching the ball game. And that's the first problem, right? "Honey, did you hear that?" she says. "What?" "That noise, something crashed in the roof and made a big hole." "Really? Where?" "On the roof." The husband runs out to look, sees the hole, and says, "Yep, that's a hole, all right." And he goes back inside and watches the game. Maybe that's never happened to your house. That's a good thing. But the first disciples leaned in, and they don't, and to see Jesus' body gone. And Peter arrives and rushes in to see the clothes and the cloths that was on his face and were all rolled and neatly set there. The other disciple enters and sees and believes. And so they run home, believing that he is gone. And so they return home believing what they had seen, but certainly not understanding. As we know, Mary stays and weeps because all she can think of is someone has stolen the Lord's body. Through the tears, she sees two angels who ask her why she's crying. And then she turns and sees Jesus, but mistakes him for the gardener and asks where he put the body. And then Jesus calls her name, Mary. And then she recognized Jesus and most likely goes towards him. And Jesus stops her and says, "Don't touch me, but go tell the disciples that I am ascending to be with God." And Jesus appoints Mary Magdalene as the first minister of the gospel to share the good news. Mary gets it. She understands the importance of what has happened. of the day of that first Easter. She is filled with joy and excitement because her master lives. He has risen. He is no longer dead. So what do you say? Perhaps you say Easter is a transforming event, and it is. It transformed the disciples from scared, fearful disciples to ferocious, sacrificial livers of the gospel. Resurrection transforms the hopeless into the hopeful. Eric Butterworth tells a story about a young soldier who lost his legs in battle. Something died within this young man when he found that he would never walk again. He lay in the hospital bed, staring blankly at the ceiling. He refused to talk to anybody. Well, one day, another inmate of the hospital strolled in and sat down on a chair near the bed, and pulled out his harmonica, and began to play softly. And the patient looked up at him for a second and then back to the ceiling, and that was all that happened that day. The next day, the player came in again, and several days he would continue to come in and to play quietly. And one day he said, "Does my playing annoy you?" And the patient said, "No, I guess I like it." And they talked a little more each day. And one day the harmonica player was in a joyful mood, and so he played a sprightly tune and began to do a tap dance. And the soldier looked on, but was apparently unimpressed. And the player said, "Hey, why don't you smile once and let the world know you're alive?" the dancer said. The legless soldier said, "I might as well be dead as in the fix I'm in." "Okay," answered his happy friend, "so you're dead. But you're not as dead as a fellow who was crucified 2,000 years ago. And he came out of it all right." "Oh, it's easy for you to preach," replied the patient. "But if you were in my fix, you'd sing a different tune." And with this, the dancer stood up and said, "I know 2,000-year-old resurrection is pretty far in the dim past. So maybe an up-to-date example will help you to believe it can be done." And with that, he pulled up his trouser legs, and the young man in bed looked and saw two artificial limbs. The tap-dancing fellow with the harmonica was not simply a Pollyanna. He once lay there like that young soldier. He himself was known the power of the resurrection, and he had learned to live life abundantly, even without his legs. Needless to say, the young soldier's own resurrection began that moment. You see, Easter isn't just about dying. It's about the power of belief in a world of lost hope. It is about knowing that no situation beyond God's redeeming power. It's about tired feet, or no feet, and a rested soul. It's about God making a way where there seems to be no way. Well, during Lent, we've been talking about a faith that is good enough. And in her final meditation, Kate Bowler focused on an image of the gardener. And regardless of the reasons why Mary mistook the risen Jesus for a gardener, it is the work and the hope of the gardener that may help us to understand that our faith is good enough on this Easter Sunday. You see, it's the gardener that has the faith and the hope that enables us to plant a small seed in the ground, knowing that with the blessings of God, of creation, and the nurturing, watering, weeding of the gardener, will bring forth beauty and fruit and nourishment. Kate Bowler writes this. She says, "A seed doesn't taste very good or have any real nutritional value. It really has no purpose until it's planted by the good gardener, or the farmer in the case of many around here. Yet inside a tiny seed is all the genetic information needed to grow into a complete plant. And under the right conditions, this tiny speck will sprout and root and bud and bloom, and what grows might provide food, shelter, or awe. Sometimes a giant sequoia or a bush weighed down with juicy raspberries or a flamboyant peony. But the first step in creating life from an insignificant genetic package, you must bury it. A seed reaches its potential only when it is buried, when things look most lost, most dark, most covered, most long gone, most hopeless. That's when the seed is undergoing the most important change. And through its death, it might produce much fruit. This gardener knows that the hope it takes to believe that through death, the freezing, the fire, the floods, the darkness, the crushing, the consumption, the waiting, even there, new life can be born. This is the radical moment of new life bursting forth from seeming death. Regardless of whatever life may throw at us, regardless of how crushing a blow, regardless how deep our depression, regardless how hopeless we feel, whether individually or as a congregation, know that our faith is good enough to get to the other side. Know that there are some things that must first be buried before they can spring forward with new life to bring forth abundant fruit. Know that something must first be buried before they are resurrected to the glory of God. Know that all this will happen because God will make a way. Easter is all about resurrection, but it doesn't come in a spray can. It can be found in a hospital bed, though. It can be found in an empty tomb. It can be found by those who persevere. It can be found by those who are committed. And while Easter takes away the burden of fearing death, it does not promise to take away our burdens. It does not promise there will not be any pains in life. It does not promise there will not be any disappointments. It does not promise there will not be times of despair and worry. It does not promise that there will not be times of hopelessness. It does not promise journey that will be short or curvy or without potholes or without deepest valleys after the highest of heights. It is about tired feet and rested souls, a legless man tap dancing for Jesus. Mary, who feared the worst and ended up reporting the very best. A gardener who knowingly plants the seeds of hope and faith. It is about a God that will make a way where there seems to be no way. Yes, my brothers and sisters, our faith is enough on this Sunday of resurrection. Amen.